From Midtown Manhattan, New York City, to the world, Tom Sullivan is on now.
Well, here we are, and glad you're there. I'm here, and we have our freshly printed executive order from President Trump. Just reading it over. It's not very long, but I want to tell you what's in it, because I find it actually pretty interesting, since we've all become much further up to speed on immigration law, most of us, over the last couple of days because of this. So the title of the president's order, executive order, is Affording Congress an Opportunity to Address Family Separation. By authority vested in me, Section 1 policy. It is the policy of this administration to rigorously enforce our immigration laws. Under our laws, the only legal way for an alien to enter the country is at a designated port of entry at an appropriate time. Goes on to talk about if you try to do it elsewhere or another way, you're violating the law. And it says it's also the policy of this administration to maintain family unity, including by detaining alien families together where appropriate and consistent with law and available resources. It is unfortunate Congress's failure to act in court orders have put the administration in the position of separating alien families to effectively enforce the law. Then it goes on to Section 2, which is definitions, which I'll skip over. Section 3, Homeland Security shall maintain custody of alien families during the pendency of any criminal improper entry or immigration proceedings involving their members. The secretary shall not, however, detain an alien family together where there is concern that detention of an alien child with the child's alien parent would pose a risk to the child's welfare. So, in other words, if there's some other issue going on, you don't have to put them together. But the policy is to put them together unless there's a problem. Secretary of Defense shall take all legally available measures to provide, upon request, any existing facilities available for the housing and care of alien families. So the military bases are going to be involved. Next section, heads of executive departments shall make available to the secretary for the housing and care of alien families pending court proceedings for improper entry. So everybody, whoever you are, you got room? We're going to use every federal agency possible to basically house these people together as families pending trial. And last paragraph in this section, the Attorney General shall promptly file a request with the U.S. District Court for the Central District of California to modify the settlement agreement in Flores versus Sessions in a manner that would permit the secretary, under present resource constraints, to detain alien families together through the pendency of criminal proceedings for improper entry or any removal or other immigration proceedings. So they're going to go back to court because there is that 20-day maximum that the Flores Agreement says you can only keep them for 20 days. And you have to try and spin them off to somebody that's a family member and all that. So I don't know what the adjustment will be, but they're going to try and modify the Flores Agreement. Section 4, prioritization of immigration proceedings involving families. The Attorney General shall, to the extent practical, prioritize cases involving detained families. And then it goes on to general provisions that are basically legal provisions. So to what have we learned from this? We're going to enforce the law, but we're going to keep families together. We're going to use every federal facility we can, starting with the military. And that we're going to go back to court and ask for an adjustment, a modification to the Flores Agreement that was struck back in the late 1990s. So there you go. There's the deal. Which, by the way, In local news here in New York, it's a big story that broke yesterday afternoon. Governor Cuomo and Mayor de Blasio are going to sue the federal government over separating immigrants. And what the story goes on to say is more than 70 of those children, talk about putting them places, more than 70 of those children, 70, have wound up in facilities here in New York State. So some are being held in private facilities, three in the Bronx. Others are being held in Catholic facility, Catholic Charities facility. But federal source told the news that the Office of Refugee Resettlement Population of Unaccompanied Minors in New York State is 1,321 kids as of Monday. 311 are actually in shelters as a result of separation from families. Wait a minute. Why are you taking these people that mom and dad are in, or mom or dad are in some detention facility in Texas? Why don't you talk about wanting to keep families together? I mean, can't you put them somewhere in Texas? So now they're 2,000 miles away from their parents. They're stuck in New York. And that's a solution? That was their solution before the president signed this deal. That's what they've been doing. They've been shipping these kids off a couple thousand miles away. I don't know if they ever find each other again. I presume somehow they do. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Mark in Louisville. Mark, hi, how are you? Welcome to the program.
Hey, Tom, how are you, sir?
Doing good. What's going on?
Good. The problem is that, and I think it's safe to say that the mainstream media has been frustrated with Trump. I think they saw the blue wave coming, and that seemed to have petered out. And I have never seen as much deception and lack of balance. And it just seems to me that they think this is the shot, that they need to get him out before there's another. I think they're panicked. There's another Supreme Court justice that may retire, and they've got to figure the Mueller thing hasn't worked. And it doesn't look like they were going to be able to take over the Congress and impeach him. And it just seems like they are going all in on this and heck with any kind of balance.
But, well, no, there's none. It's all about emotions. It is an emotional argument that has hit the nerve of the majority of people in this country. And you know how politics works. You keep trying to throw stuff against the wall, and one out of a thousand may stick, but when it sticks, you know, everybody's high-fiving each other because of the fact they got something going. And this is huge. The stories are already about, could this be Trump's Katrina? I don't know. It's too soon to tell, but it's emotional. It's based on technicalities regarding federal law. But I also, Mark, for the life of me, you're a smart guy. Stephen Miller cannot figure out how to play anything other than Chinese checkers. He does not know. He doesn't know the second or third move on anything that he comes up with. He screws up more things than anybody I've ever seen in the White House. You could have seen this coming. You could have seen it coming. Why hand it to the Democrats?
I think they were caught off guard at the vitriol lack of, come on, Rachel Maddow crying because there was a breaking.
I know.
Remember, it just happened to break at the end of the broadcast, Tom, and it was so breaking that they already had a graphic ready.
But here's the part that if you were in that room, I know. If you were in that room with Stephen Miller and Jeff Sessions, you would say, hey, guys, so we're going to round these kids up, and the media, when they get a hold of this, are going to be showing crying kids and all of this. This might not look great. Nobody ever asked that question about government, big boot of government, stomping on these poor little immigrants. Did they ever have that discussion?
No, but I don't think they even knew visually what it looked like.
Oh.
I think they're dealing with things in the abstract.
Yes.
I think there's nobody there. I mean, it's like the Asian Fever restaurant chain. You know, did nobody think that was going to create a problem?
I know.
I think in their case, they never saw any of these facilities. They never saw what the visual looked like. And, you know, they were dealing with numbers. They're dealing with, and it's not to give an excuse. With as many people the government employs,
somebody,
there should have been somebody on the ground to say, yes, the visual on this is going to, yes, be a nightmare.
Exactly. That's all I'm saying, is that somebody should have said, hey, guys, this is what it's going to look like. Somebody that has a little bit of experience dealing with the media.
Look at Abu Ghraib. One photo, a couple of photos.
Bingo.
And it was, you know, and everybody is a journalist now because they all have a smartphone. And
yeah.
I think that these people, they're dealing in policy, they're dealing with numbers, and nobody said, hey, have you actually seen one of these places? And what would happen if somebody, and I think some of that has to do with Trump running the show. I don't think there's the savvy bunch of media people that there have been in past administrations.
I don't think there are either. I know some of the media people that are there, and trust me, they're not very savvy. They're really not. But your point is well taken. They're a bunch of policy wonks, and they don't really have a good grasp of the visuals. Mark, always good to hear from you. I have to take the break. The phone number is 855-295-6600. Didn't anybody see what CNN was going to do next? Some of you get pretty vicious. The problem is you've got to find somebody that cares.
Tom Sullivan.
I'm still cracking up over the fact that Kirsten Nielsen went to a Mexican restaurant last night. Andy was telling me that that somebody there from the socialist group saw her and sent out a tweet and got on social media. And within minutes, a whole bunch of them came to the restaurant and started shouting at her. A Mexican restaurant, really? I know, I love Mexican food. Oh, I have it all the time. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Tom, Dr. Tom in Carson City. Hello, doctor.
Happy Wednesday afternoon.
Yes, sir.
I always enjoy calling through. Your caller, James, I think, made a strong point. And not only knowing his facts, and at $35,000 a year to take care of illegal alien children, but also regarding what type of cost are we looking at to house all these individuals when we're in a situation where the president, and I fully support him 95% of the time, cannot negotiate a $25 billion wall. We've got to stop it there. Otherwise, they can continue, and they're smart enough. They put your children out front, and then they play the "oh, woe is me" game, and here we take them abroad.
Yep.
And we're in a situation where it falls directly on the half the population that listens to your show. Maybe a little more than that listen to your show, but it's one of those situations that everyone, and even the prior callers, they're very knowledgeable. if your callers, if your listeners to the show were going to vote for Trump, he wouldn't have to go out and basically try to get reelected. He'd be elected. They're totally smart. And the sad thing, too, Tom, is that Sessions, we know now, is not the sharpest knife in the drawer.
Well,
he's kind of failed in 100 different steps.
I mean, the stories are already out there about is this going to give Donald Trump a chance to fire Jeff Sessions and have nothing to do with Russia, have it to do simply with the fact that, man, you blew it. I'll tell you, where I have worked over my career, you blow something for the company, the boss, there's a good chance you're going to be fired, and depends upon how big your mistakes are. Everybody makes mistakes, but if you make a big mistake and cause all kinds of personal problems for the boss, your job is in jeopardy. So he's already walking on thin ice. This might be it. But
well, it might be it, Tom. It might be it, but unfortunately, Sessions is just enforcing the law. It doesn't look great, but the politicians and the presidents in the past, I would say, including Reagan, made a mistake on this one.
Sure.
They just have to realize that we have a country that everybody wants to come into, and if you can provide some type of credible evidence that you can support yourself and you don't fall on the taxpayers, that's where I get tired of it. I see it in Carson City all the time. Great ideas, wonderful ideas, paid for by the taxpayer, only to find our homeless, even in Carson City, are increasing dramatically. Why? Because of enablers, even the former charitable organizations of the government.
Sure.
And it reflects itself in our crime rates, Tom, and it's very, very frustrating. And nobody is willing to take the stance that we've got to stop it at the border to begin with.
Well, we'll see what happens with this bill on Thursday and what Mitch McConnell and the Republicans are doing in the Senate. They need, what, they got 51 Republicans. They need 9 Democrats to go with some sort of immigration bill that they come up with. And you would think with all this screaming and crying and everybody else howling about this, that they would have more than 9 Democrats go for it. But Chuck Schumer is a crafty politician, and so far, I mean, he said, "I'll lend you my pen here, or sign it." Well, he signed a deal, but he also says he won't support Cruz's bill, which was an emergency bill to have the families put back together again. So we're going to run into everybody's going to try to spin the other people are to blame for us not getting this done. We haven't been able to get immigration done, and I'm not holding my breath that they're going to be able to do it this week or next either. I really don't.
Well, the problem, Tom, we face, the Democrats are always united, always united. Trump bad, everything else okay, and the Republicans can't stay united. This bill will sail through. I don't care what it is, because it looks good to the general population, especially those with an election coming up.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it does. It looks like it's got everything that the president wants. It'll satisfy a lot of people in this country, but I don't know if they're going to get 9 Democrats.
First Amendment 101. You're listening to Tom Sullivan.
Yes, you are. And so the president, in the last half hour, has signed the executive order calling for the families to be reunited with each other. Big stink earlier today, Melania Trump, the office of the First Lady, had called the Secret Service after Peter Fonda. Remember Peter Fonda? Remember old Peter? Yeah, yes, Jane Fonda's brother. He is back in the news. Well, it was Easy Rider was probably the one film that he made that everybody knew about. He put out a tweet that said, "We should rip Barron Trump from his mother's arms and put him in a cage with pedophiles and see if mother will stand up against the giant bleep she is married to. 90 million people in the streets on the same weekend in the country." Another bleep. I don't know what that's all about. So He said we should rip Barron Trump from his mother's arms, and so the office of the First Lady called the Secret Service. Said he's threatening. He's an old guy now. I mean, he doesn't look all that threatening, but he, you know, he's just politically out there. I don't know. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Mike in Port Huron, Michigan. Hello, Mike.
How you doing?
I'm doing great.
How you doing, Tom?
What you thinking?
Hey, I got a way to take care of all the immigration thing.
How are you going to do that?
You got to vaccinate all the people that come in here, right?
I don't know. Do they
vaccinate? They say should.
I don't know. I wonder if they do.
I don't know, but they should. But if they do, when they do that, they should put a chip in them, so we can find out where they're at.
Put a chip in them?
Mm-hmm.
Like a dog?
Yep. I know I'm going to catch grief on this, but...
Yeah. I don't think people are going to go for putting chips in people. Well, all right. So, go back to your vaccination thing, because I know that it used to be where you could not travel to certain countries in the world without having proof that you have your immunization for whatever disease they have in that country. So I know that they do that on international travel, and some countries have that rule and some don't. I don't think we're giving vaccinations to those people, but a chip, what would you do with the chip? So most of these people get sent back. I mean, 80% of them lose their appeal and are reunited back in south of the border. Then right. What?
Well, then they still have a chip, and if they come back, they got them again. You know.
Yeah. Well, I think they know who these people are. I think they obviously take some sort of just like anybody that's committed a crime. They're booked, photographed, fingerprinted. Somebody suggested the other day DNA. So that they can make sure that the people are the parents of the kids that they're bringing in, because there's some of that going on where some of them are coming with kids that are not their own. I don't know.
Right, I can see that.
Yeah. I don't think your chip idea. I think this has been a problem. Huh? What?
Like I said, I know I'm going to catch grief on this, but, that's just my opinion.
Yeah. I don't know what you do with them. So they come in and then you got them chipped.
mm-hmm.
I appreciate the sentiment that you want to know who they are and what their people right, coming right. into our country, who they are. But I don't know. I don't think anybody's going to go for the chip. But all right, Mike, everybody's got an idea. I appreciate the call very much. Let's get Steve in here from Santa Rosa, California. Hello, Steve.
Hi, yeah, I got a question on all this, you know.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
We're told that these people are leaving, Central America because they fear for their lives from the gangs.
Right.
Okay, and we all know who Trump is and his family. We know all about him. But nobody knows who runs Central America. The presidents of those countries aren't... that familiar the names as Trump is. And it appears to me that the gangs in Central America have now become a new global power because they're dictating the policy in the United States. They're getting no blame in all of this. There's no responsibility from the leadership in Central America. There's no blame thrown at them. There's no nothing thrown at them. They're laughing at us. They're doing whatever they, what does the president of El Salvador do while he's running a country that's controlled by gangs so bad that these people are desperate and are willing to risk their lives to leave the country? Why? This is a clear case. This whole thing is a clear example of media manipulation of the United States public. It's all a big phony front to dictate things in this, what this country's government does. and it makes me sick. If Central America is so bad that they're that desperate, why aren't they getting any blame, the leadership there?
Because they're probably corrupt.
Why is the media silent?
They're corrupt. I mean,
it's okay. So I guess we'll just live with them being corrupt forever.
Well, what do you want to do? You want to go in and take control of El Salvador?
They should get some kind of blame in the media, don't you think? There's not a peep
who cares?
On any radio show, TV, newspaper.
Who cares? Who cares if the Washington Post says El Salvador is run by a bad guy? That's not going to change anything. Doesn't change a thing. The people there are leaving for all kinds of different reasons. One of the excuses is that crime is so out of control. I saw an expert on Central America this morning talking about actually crime is down in Central America, not up. So if that's true, and I don't know if it is, but this was this guy talking, why are these people leaving there to come here? It's not about El Salvador so much. It's as they want to come to the United States where they hear that they will be in a land of plenty and everything will be great. That's all. We are such a magnet. We are so looked up to in the world. And I don't want to change that. I like being the number one country in the world. But I hear you. These guys aren't getting any blame. But I don't know if this guy, I just looked up his name, the president of El Salvador, Pedro Barrera. I don't know if he's corrupt or no, that was a long time ago. Who's the current one? Who is it? Sanchez somebody or other. Too long of a name. Salvador Sanchez. Who? Oh, Seren. Oh, yeah. He's from the Farabundo Marti National Liberation Front Party. He got 48.9% of the vote on the first round and 50% on the round. So they had a tough election in El Salvador. I don't know why they don't get more blame, but what are you going to do about it? Go in and occupy El Salvador? Anyway, Steve, thank you. Here's Alberto Gonzalez, our former attorney general, says if President Trump changes the policy himself, this was this morning before the president announced he was going to change the policy. He said, what it does is it lets Congress off the hook, and they won't do anything about immigration reform.
Clearly, the president could halt immediately the separation of children from their parents, but that would relieve the pressure on Congress, quite frankly, to pass legislation that would deal not only with this issue, but other issues related to immigration, and that I would worry about. Congress needs to do its job, and I would say probably the only good thing about all of this mess with the children being separated is it is placing tremendous pressure on the Congress to do something.
Will they do it? We'll be right back.
Stop yelling at the radio and get on the phone now. You're with Tom Sullivan.
Kurtz, who does the media, reporting on the media for Fox News, he chimes in on the coverage about all of this because it has been overwhelming over the last few days. And he says the majority of the coverage on the separation of children has been, regardless of political bias, has been nothing but negative.
95% of the coverage of President Trump's handling of this issue has been not just negative, but has a moral condemnation that we haven't seen really since Charlottesville. There's something about the rare images and the leaked audio of crying children being separated from their parents that has just prompted a lot of fierce attacks on the president as inhumane. And it's not just the liberal media, though it's certainly been practically wall-to-wall on the other cable news channels. channels, the New York Post and the Wall Street Journal, owned by Rupert Murdoch at our sister company, run scathing editorials on this issue as well. Conservative radio host Hugh Hewitt has said this may be Trump's Katrina, and liberal journalists have delighted in quoting some of the dissident Republican lawmakers, people like Laura Bush, religious leaders and others who usually support the president but have turned on him over this highly emotional issue.
Yeah, so a lot of righties, a lot of the Wall Street Journal, New York Post, all these various right organizations have turned on the president. So A.B. Stoddard says, very few things will make Donald Trump change his mind, but the pressure from separating kids at the border made him reconsider.
A few Trump controversies that people think are going to push him over the edge create an actual furor like this. This is something that we haven't seen before. And Nia's right, the idea of leaders on the global stage, the Pope, his own party, the Catholic bishops, the evangelicals, everyone coming out and saying this is untenable. He thought that he could sort of make it through, but it was clear from members of Congress coming out today saying, we're going to solve this tomorrow, that they were running out of actual hours. Tomorrow would be the test, and then when both bills failed in the House, they'd have to go to the standalone paragraph bill, which would be an act of defiance against the president. And so it really, they said it would be better if you found a way to sort of do this yourself, and that's why they've made it, they did, the reset is the right word that Abby used. You saw these senators around him talking about how this was so complicated and he was put in a bad corner and it's really hard because of the Flores ruling, and they were trying to sort of smooth the debate and make it seem as if all along he was in, you know, a real bind, when we know that he wasn't. But this was his way of getting out of it. I think a lot of pressure from, again, bipartisan, but from his own family. Really, everyone said, you know, you got to make this end.
Yeah. So now what happens? What's going to happen from here? Are we done with immigration? Because I'm telling you, in another week, we'll be looking at the U.S. Senate going, because Thursday, the House is going to apparently pass their bill on immigration. But will the Senate? And will 51 Republicans line up and find 9 more Democrats to help them get this to the 60 votes that it needs in the U.S. Senate? I have a sneaking feeling it's not going to, only because I've seen immigration laws and efforts to try to get immigration laws passed fail one after another. Phone number is 855-295-6600. There's also, where did your thing? Andy sent me this thing about Facebook. You can't Facebook, unbelievable fundraiser. Some couple wanted to raise $1,500. They saw what was going on at the border. Charlotte and Dave Wilner wanted to raise $1,500 to help. They live in the San Francisco Bay Area. Wanted to help these immigrants. The government's helping them, and the government's, I mean, yes, it was looked bad, terrible, all that stuff. But the kids were getting help and getting fed and all of that. But this couple saw that little girl crying as a police officer was patting down her father. And they started this fundraiser on Facebook. I didn't realize Facebook was doing that, but they are. And they now do fundraisers, very much like GoFundMes. So they wanted to raise $1,500. So far, they've raised $12,806,000. Money that I don't know where it goes. Does Facebook keep track of this in a bank account? How do they know that it goes to help these families that are on our border in refugee centers? But that's the kind of reaction that this whole thing has spurred. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Isaiah in Patterson, California. Hi, Isaiah.
Hey, Tom. So just one thing, 95% of the media has been attacking the president from day one. But my real thing that I wanted to get at was, we went after Noriega because, yeah, a bunch of killings, all the drugs, everything that was going on.
Right.
We went after ISIS just recently. Why can't we go into El Salvador, work with their president, and take out the MS-13 and all this violence and whatnot? There's more people in California than there is in El Salvador.
You want to send the military in, or what do you want? You want to take over this country? What do you want to do?
No, you go in there and you settle the situation. I mean, come on, we went and took care of ISIS. We didn't go and occupy the country. You know, we just went and took care of ISIS. Boom. So we went and took care of Noriega, gave him back the country. You know, so why can't we do this with El Salvador?
Yeah, I mean, they are in, I see what you're saying, they are in a different way attacking our country by trying to send all these people here. If you go back to Noriega, which is interesting about Noriega, is, he finally died at 83, but I thought he got the support of the people again after he got thrown out. So, I mean, I don't know. The whole place is corrupt. I was reading about during the commercial break about the corruption in El Salvador. You talk about MS-13. MS-13 is a problem. There's no question about it in El Salvador, but they're not as big of a problem as the corrupt officials. In fact, the current president of El Salvador paid MS-13 $300,000 to suppress certain voters from going to the polls, basically scared them to death. So their MS-13 is part and parcel of the payroll of the president of El Salvador. So I don't know if you're going to find too many people who want to go have a war in El Salvador. But it would be, I agree with you. It wouldn't be tough. We could take it over. Then what will we do? I don't think you can. You can't change the hearts and minds of the people in Iraq. How are you going to change the hearts and minds of these people?
See, but I think the Middle East, their train of thought is completely different than the people in the Americas. That's for sure. There's a reason why they want to come to the United States. And if we were to somehow just some kind of a structure that, you know, which is what they want to do anyways, which is what the United States wants to do all over the world, is put some kind of democratic institution or policies and whatnot. Well, they can do that with El Salvador. And guess what? And people can start, they can start building, you know, their country as it should be. We helped Japan.
It hasn't worked. Well, that's because we kept our military there. I guess if you kept the military there. I don't know, Isaiah. I appreciate the call. I don't think it'll work.